Looking in the first book of the Bible, Genesis, I invite you to turn there. Lord willing, we're going to cover a lot of ground today. Genesis chapter 1, starting at verse 20 through 25. Genesis 1, 20 through 25. Let me pray before I read, please. Lord, I thank you for your word. Thank you for its greatness. Thank you for its truth, for its power. Lord, it's magnificent because it's your word. There's nothing else under heaven like it. Nowhere else. It is your word, uniquely, alone, the word of God. And thank you that we can gather together and look at it and study it and think about it and ponder it and take it into our hearts and put our minds to it, Lord, and find the more that we get into it, the more we realize it really is. It's beyond us. It's beyond the imagination of man. It is the word of God. So, Lord, thank you. And, Lord, thank you for what you're doing in our hearts and our lives. For what you're doing in our lives. For your mercies. I know, Lord, there's those who have gone through physical difficulties, and you have been faithful. And even now, there's those who still continue to need grace in their bodies. So, Lord, we just pray for them. Father, thank you that your word is going out around the world, and we have a part in a few places to help the gospel of Jesus Christ become known and understandable to people in different languages and tongues. And bless those, Lord, who are serving you in such ways. We thank you for that. And Lord, again, for our country, we pray for those over us in authority, as your word says, for your will to be done. Ultimately, Lord, it's going to be beyond the will of man, for the things that you allow, the things that accomplish, Lord, for your will, for whatever you happen, allow to happen for our nation at this time, at this point of history, Lord, you have your reasons. And so we thank you and praise you that ultimately it is the will of God that will be done. You're the one who sets up kings and puts them down, sets up presidents and disposes them. That the nations are a drop in the bucket, Lord, as far as your might and power. So let your will be done. We do pray for them, though, and for those who are authentic, true, genuine Christians in places and realms of authority to be able to stand up for Jesus and to stand for your word and to have wisdom, to have courage. We pray for them. So, Lord, again, for our lives, for the time you've given to us here, we pray for your mercy. We pray you're being with us. We thank you for that by your Spirit. Lord, for your blessing upon your word. Help me to understand more. Help us to apply it in our lives, to see, as we've sung, how great and awesome and holy and wondrous and powerful and mighty and wise is our God. Thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm going to highlight a couple things before I do the reading. We've come to, I don't know what you have up here for us, Dave. Give us that cornucopia of visual delights and not the First Baptist Church thing there. Okay, we have come to day 5. We've been through Genesis chapter 1. There's been earth, sky, the creation of atmosphere, sun, moon, stars, light, water, heat, day, night. God created so much. You got anything else? Or that's it? Oh, just keep on going. The earth, hanging it in space. He has made everything, and now he's filling it up. All the things that he's created, he is filling them up. Isaiah 45:18, it says, he formed the earth, he made it to be inhabited. So just run through whatever this. Let's get to some plants. We've looked at plants. Why did God make plants? Why did God make plants? We're taking a look at Genesis chapter 1. It's the word of God. It's not taking a long time. We've gone into detail as to why a day should be a day. 24 hours. In 6 days, the Lord made the heavens and the earth. So, why did God make plants? He didn't have to. Why do plants exist? rather than saying, oh, it came from chemical soup somewhere. Wait a second. Why in plants do we have exactly what we need for food? In plants, for food, there's vitamins, minerals, fiber, and proteins in case you don't like to eat your greens or your salad. It's there and it's good for you. You could live on certain types of plants and beans and nuts and all. Yes, and I'm getting people smiling, go, give me a good steak, but not the veggies. But you could live on plants. And so why is it in plants there's all those things that we need exactly for life? Why do they exist? Why can we live off plants? See, science can go, well, here's this, chlorophyll, photosynthesis, all this kind of stuff. But why? 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 You know, there are poisonous plants now. Why are not all plants poisonous? Well, if they were all poisonous, everybody and everything would die that eats them. So who says that plants have to be exactly what is needed for nutrition for human and animal life? Who says? It doesn't answer. Evolutionary science does not answer why. So God continues to fill things. We're going to look at day 5 and part of day 6 because he's filling up the earth with living creatures and lots of them. Here we go. Genesis 1:20. Then God said, let the waters abound with an abundance of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament or expanse in the heavens. So God created great sea creatures and every living thing that moves with which the waters abounded according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the seas and let birds multiply on the earth. So the evening and the morning were the fifth day, day 5. Then God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature according to its kind, cattle and creeping thing and beast of the earth, each according to its kind. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. So let's start with, I don't know, are we back to fish? You got any fish there for us? I don't know how far you've gone ahead. I haven't been watching. Oh, fish, marine life, and then birds, and then land creatures. God is filling the earth. Waters abound, birds in the sky. As a matter of fact, of these things, he says, and this is unusual, to them, be fruitful and multiply, and it's not to the living creatures on the earth, it is to sea and sky. That he says, verse 22, why is this? Well, remember, the earth is 30% dry land, 70% water. So there's a lot of water out there. So he doesn't have to say to the land creatures, be fruitful and multiply. They've only got so much space to work with. But there's an awful lot of water, so he can say to the water creatures, have lots of youngins and fill it up. And that's what it says, verse 22, a pastoral rendition of it. God is filling the earth. So with fish, from the small to the large. Did you find one of those? No? It's blue, but I'd like to see a whale after the blue. There we go. From the large to the small. Keep it on that for a second. It says, verse 21, great sea creatures. And notice there's two categories. And every living thing that moves. Great sea creatures, blue whale. So think of your large brontosaurus dinosaur. You know, it's really long and it's really big and it's really heavy, right? Brontosaurus. This is larger. The blue whale, it's the largest known creature on the face of the earth. It can grow up to 100 feet long. It can get to about 170 tons. That's 340,000 pounds, in case you're thinking about going on a diet. It has seven stomachs. Its tongue alone weighs more than an elephant. And it can live to approximately 120 years, and that may be due to the fact that it has a 1,000-pound heart. The blue whale, the greatest living creature, period, in the earth. 100 feet, 170 tons. Two, that which is, we have some small stuff. Small stuff. Second category, living creatures. Great sea creatures and, verse 21, every living thing that moves in which with which the waters abounded to their kind. Crabs, starfish, everything that's small, from small to large, and everything in between. Sea creatures. So, we got some birds there? Because that's the next. And God created. And then in verse 21, and every winged bird according to its kind. Did you at some point find, falcons. Let's go through this quickly. Can fly up to 100 miles an hour next. I don't have a woodpecker with its bill, a jackhammer into a tree up to 1,000 times a minute without crushing their bill, without wrecking their brain, without getting a pain in the neck. And the tongue can go in and find an insect because their tongue is wrapped up in their right nostril. Who would have thought of that? To a bat, sonar. They have a sonar system better than the Navy uses for sonar. The bats is more accurate. And then do you have what's next? Is this it? Is this the sandpiper, the red knot? Red knot sandpiper. I won't bore you with the details, but that little bird and lots of them makes a 9,000-mile one-way trip. Twice a year. It spends the summer. It spends the winter down south near Venezuela. And it spends the winter up in Hudson's Bay, Canada. 9,000 miles. And the way it does it is amazing in its flight pattern, and it lands at certain places. As a matter of fact, as it's coming up, it knows where to stop and eat, and there's a place on the East Coast in where in its migratory pattern, it stops at the exact time that hermit crabs are laying hundreds and hundreds of thousands of little eggs, because one of those can tackle off over 100,000 little hermit crab eggs by themselves. But it lands at the exact time that the eggs are being laid. And then it continues up. And while it's up in Hudson Bay, the parents, the male and female, mate. They lay only four eggs apiece. Only four, no more. Four. And then the egg gets up, grows, hatches, and starts to grow and develop. And the mother leaves, they take care of the egg, but the mother leaves first to make the flight pattern back. The father leaves next to make the flight pattern back. And the little bird, it's on its own. And on its own, it makes the 9,000-mile trip unassisted, knowing exactly when to stop at the right place for the right amount of food to keep going. So it lends a new meaning to the saying, it's all for the birds. Who gave that kind of guidance to it? To a baby bird with the parents gone. 9,000 miles. Exactly back to the same spot. Little sandpiper. So when you see a little sandpiper or something like that, respect them. They're a great little part of God's creation. So let's keep going. Because the next thing that God created was land creatures. Three different categories. Three different categories. Verse 24. Let the earth bring forth the living creature according to its kind, cattle and creeping thing and beast of the earth. So a type of domestic cattle, sheep, whatever. Oh, come bring us back. Are we back to cattle and sheep? A domestic type, cattle, category, then creeping things, bugs, insects, snakes, those things that are along the ground, and then wild, beast of the earth. So you have bears, lions, tigers, deer, whatever. Did you find a springbok gazelle? This little creature only grows to about 3 feet tall and can jump 10 to 12 feet straight up. Why does it do that? Because you get a better view 10 to 12 feet up as to what's around you. 3 feet tall. That is like a man who is 6 feet tall jumping 24 feet up straight. Straight up. Wow. I don't know what's next. Oh, so God is filling the earth. Keep it there. Because let's go back to the text. 7 times in the text, the key phrase is according to its kind. Kind. Kind in Hebrew is men, kind of M-I-N, men. There is a science now called baraminology. It has to do with species, kinds of animals. And the key phrase is here, over and over again, you heard it, according to kind. So evolution is false when they say that Bible believers believe that God made every type of animal or every animal. No, he did not. He made them according to kind. For example, dogs. Yeah, dogs. That's kind of dog. Anything with just dogs? No? Okay. Well, anything. Everything from the Chihuahua to the Great Dane, a dog is a dog. And everything between. They're dogs. However, from the dog family also come wolves, jackals, coyotes, foxes. All of the dog family. All of them. They're all related. Dogs. So when God made every kind of animal, every type, no. No, he made kinds. From dog, there are over 100 different types of dogs. You got a horse or a zebra there? I'm not sure if I gave that to you. Nope, okay. Horses, zebras, donkeys are all from the horse family. And so, yes, there are zorkies, zekies, and horkies. Zories. Horses, donkeys, zebras. And then you have lion, tiger, leopards, lions, and cats, because they're all from the cat family. Cats. Some are small, some are big. Some you can play with, some want to play with you. It's the way it goes. Cat family. They're all cats. Kind. Men. Baramin. Baraminology. Kinds. So evolution, it says, also says, all animals have the same ancestor, you know, from the little bit of goo up to the family tree, they all have the same ancestor. False. Because they would say dogs are from the same family's tree as whales or pigeon or mice. False. From dogs, you get dogs. You'll never see a dog turn into a mouse unless your dog is a really scaredy dog kind of thing. Like, come back here, be a dog. But you'll never see it otherwise. Dogs are dogs. Cats are cats. There's no such thing as a dat or a cog. They cannot be. It won't mix. Another thing, evolution, that says, is false when it says mutations. Reptiles in time turned into birds. False. I mean, this is common stuff. Lizards to birds. There are no fossils of the transitory from half reptile, half bird found. None whatsoever. They have found birds and they have found reptiles. As a matter of fact, one time they had a fossil, they thought it was bird wing on a reptile, but it was a fossil of a bird wing glued to a reptile. It was found to be a hoax. That's the only thing they could come up with. Because it's not there. So when God set kinds according to kind, he set the limits. He set the limits. Now this is important for something we'll get into later. Let's see. Oh, well, there's the... Okay, keep on going. Did you find good old... Keep going, Dave. Whatever's next, sir. This is still used in some science textbooks. This is a famous illustration of Charles Darwin, Galapagos Islands, finches. Finches. It is still used in textbooks. And he found finches with different lengths of beaks. And the bigger beak could do better to get food. And the small one, especially when the winter hit, it's like couldn't get the food it wanted to and died off. Evolution. Really, folks, that's how it ends. However, for those who stayed around to see the next winter or summer and all, over time, they found that finches with smaller beaks grew to be bigger, and the finches with smaller beaks came back in population. It was a reverse evolution. It wasn't what they were anticipating. However, this is still... There are things of mutations in which we explain different sizes of beaks on the same type of bird, but it does not say anything about the idea of a lizard turning into a bird. Does that make sense? Nothing at all. Again, it is too bad. This is still used. The Bible says kind, according to kind. One final thing. I'm going through this really fast. We'll be done before we know it. One final thing. What do we got, Dave? Oh, yes. And all the kids go, in the land of dinosaurs, a long time ago. Dinosaurs. Because what do I do this? Dinosaurs are displayed, you see them in museums, as evidence for proof against creation. I mean, it's like conclusive proof because the dinosaurs lived and then man came along. And that's how they use it, conclusive proof. So, Pastor Gary, do I believe in dinosaurs? Yes, absolutely. Those bones out there are real, except for when they're false. Because in the town we lived up in Alberta, close to 60 miles off, Drumheller, it's now a world-class museum. And it's got dinosaur bones and everything. When they were building, this stuff was being shipped in. And in one of the boxes, one of the crates was dropped. And it's like they opened it up because the outside had a scientific name of a big dinosaur bone. Crate was dropped. Open it up. Styrofoam. Whew. It was an actual cast, painted copy. So it's a good thing they didn't drop the real thing. So yeah, but there are real bones out there, right? So Pastor Gary, you believe in dinosaurs? Yes. Do I believe that they walked around 235 million years ago? No. No. Because here it says, the great creatures in the water and on the earth, day 5, day 6. The great creatures. Day 5 and day 6. Great creatures of the sea and the wild animals. Are dinosaurs in the Bible? Yes. I won't read it for you now, but if you want a footnote, Job chapter 40 and 41... you will find reference to some incredible creatures. And one of them is called Leviathan. And it's not the subject of some kind of movie. It is called that in the scripture. The Bible had the name first before Hollywood used it. And the description of it is amazing. Anyhow, they're in there. Plus also, out of Psalm 74:13, the word monster in the King James Version is tannin. T Tannin in the Hebrew, Tannin. It is translated monsters. Psalm 74:13. It was you who split open the sea by your power, who broke the heads of the monster in the waters. Isaiah 27, in that day the Lord will punish with the sword, his powerful sword, Leviathan the gliding serpent, Leviathan the coiling serpent. He, the Lord, will slay the monster of the sea. Interesting. Isaiah 51:9, was it not you, Lord, you, who cut Rahab to pieces, who pierced the monster through? Tannin. And Job 40 and 41 is great. Got some great stuff. However, Dave, you got any other stuff? Oh, what's on the flag of, is this Wales? What's on the Welsh flag? Wait, on the Welsh flag, how did they come up with that? And what's next? Oh, let's go into Chinese history. Chinese history? How did they come up with that? And what else? Oh, well, there's actually out of Job 40 and 41. That's that. Do you find anything from the Utah National Bridges National Monument? Oh, Utah Bridges National Monument. Is it pictographs or pictographs? Petroglyphs. Pictographs. Pictures like that. Oh, like a big, big thing with a big, big fat tail. Right in stone. So, did dinosaurs pose for other dinosaurs to carve them out? Or was it possible that individuals were citing these things? There are stories, keep it on there, don't go back, but there are stories in England and Wales and Ireland that have to do with the slaying of dragons. How to Train Your Dragon, number 3. Oh, wait, that's not out yet, right? Whatever. Hey, there may be more truth in an old whatever movie than there is in science. Because who made these if it was not individuals? Well, those individuals lived tens of thousands upon years ago. It's like, no, they're not that old. Maybe about 6,000 or so. But they're not that old. Or else they'd probably be worn off by now. But you can still go see them. From around the world, from England, from China in its history, from Utah. And I didn't put this on the slides, but that's okay. Some years back in Montana, they found some dinosaur bones, and they loved to carefully inspect these, and they found non-fossilized red blood cells. Dry, of course, but not fossilized. Millions of years old? No. Thousands? Yes. Non-fossilized red blood cells. That's an anomaly to science. It can't explain that. Thousands of years old. Not millions. So, why did God make fish? I don't know if there's anything else. If you don't, that's fine. Oh, wait, keep it right there. Why did God make fish, birds, animals to fill the earth? Why? For amazement? For beauty? For wonder? For enjoyment? For help to man? Because before sin came, they were all plant eaters, and they're finding this out more and more. Even in inspecting the teeth of such of, you know, like the Tyrannosaurus Rex, great for plants, great teeth for tearing up hard plants. They were plant eaters to begin with. So for help to man, for lessons to learn, Proverbs 30, in it has eagles, the way of an eagle in the air, snakes, ants, locusts, lizards, lions, roosters, and goats. Proverbs 6, verses 6 and 7, go to the ant, thou sluggard. Learn and be wise. Oh, why? Because of the ant. Go to the ant. Ants, amazing creatures. They can generally lift over 50 times their own weight and carry it 100 yards And this would be like a 200-pound man carrying 5 tons for 17 miles. That's an ant. 200-pound, 5 tons, 17 miles. An ant can walk over 3,200 feet a day. Doesn't sound much. But can you walk 68 miles in one day? That's the same. 68 miles, you better jog to do it. At a walk speed of 20 miles an hour, with short bursts up to 68 miles an hour, I can't even bike that fast downhill. Ant, go to the ant. No commanders, no officers in the colony. They learn from the older workers. They don't learn from the queen because all she does is lay eggs all the time. That's her job. It's in her union contract. You'll lay eggs. They learn from the older workers, ants. No commanders, no officers. Go to the ant and learn and be wise. So lessons from all this? Yes. And what it says practically is God makes everything for a reason and for a purpose. Everything. That includes you. And that includes me. Everything for a purpose. Isaiah 43:7, God says, of man, I have created him for my glory. Isaiah 64:8, we are the clay. He is the potter. Isaiah 49:16, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Purpose. We are not here to live, to exist, and die. Purpose. Everything God made, purpose. He has a purpose for everything and everyone. No matter how big you think you are, don't worry about that too much. We're not really too big. But no matter how small we think we are at times, or insignificant, or not making any difference in any way, God has a purpose for us, for you, for me. Ultimately, to bring him glory, but not just to exist. And why? Because ultimately, his purpose is to live with him forever. He made us to be able to be with him forever. And that's why he sent Jesus. That's why Jesus came, died on the cross. He had to take care of our separation from God because of our sin and rebelliousness. And he paid the price, and he died the death, and he rose again. It was all part of God's purpose. But not just to do that, he did that for the purpose that we could come back to God and be with him forever, for eternity. Purpose. But in this life now, to somehow bring him glory. To bring him glory. To bring him glory at work. To bring him glory at school. To bring him glory in the office, to bring him glory in the kitchen when you're raising the kids and pulling your hair out, to bring him glory at work when you're working with others and pulling your hair out, to bring him glory, a purpose, to let others know about the wonderful, amazing, powerful, true God whom we serve, Jesus Christ, creator of the universe. Purpose. And so as I shared even with the Sunday school class this morning, and so everything in our lives, everything God allows for some purpose, no matter what it is, no matter how small or how big, purpose. And so how can we respond? At sometimes we just have to trust God that he knows what he's doing. Trust him. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for being able to look into it one more time. And Lord, it is so amazing. You are so creative. You are so powerful and awesome, making all things far beyond the imagination of man. So Lord, and the very fact that what you're doing is getting all the earth set up so that the apex of your creation, man, will be at home. So Lord, thank you. And Lord, thank you for your love for us in Jesus. Thank you for your purpose. Lord, help us to trust you, even if we don't understand what you're allowing, what you're doing, what you want, that with the next step, we can trust you. You are trustable. Thank you. Lord, you are trustworthy. So Lord, for your blessing, please. Pray for anyone here who doesn't know Jesus. Lord, that they just would think strongly about these things. It's not accident. It's not chance. Everything is by design. Everything. And there's a reason. And it's your reason for us. And to know your love, Lord. And Lord, that our lives may bring you glory. Thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.